Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Rich Galen is our guest. I'm glad he's here, too. He's a good friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he is of the Republican persuasion, in the interest of full disclosure, a political advisor and operative. He sometimes calls himself a political hack. He's the guy who writes Mullings.com, the outstanding political cyber column that I recommend to you on a regular basis. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to have you back. The president made his obligatory State of the Union speech last night. Rich, how do you do?
Well, I'm a fan, as you know. So, I mean, I'm generally looking to for the good parts and am perfectly happy to ignore the bad parts. But I thought in this case he did very, very well. And my wife, who's a much tougher critic of all things, especially me, she thought he was terrific. And she's got really good political instincts. 100 years ago, when I ran for city council in Marietta, Ohio, 45750. When I ran my campaign, I lost by 2 votes. When she ran it, my campaign the next time, I got the most votes of anybody running for any office at any level in the 26th precinct of Marietta City. So,
and what did we learn from that? What did we learn from that, Rich?
Exactly right. Stay married and shut up.
Well, I did think he looked comfortable in his own skin last night. And over the years, he's gotten better at these speeches, hasn't he?
Well, he's gone up and down with them. I mean, the speeches he gave right after 9/11 were breathtaking in their power. But I think that speaks to your point that when he speaks, when he's comfortable with what he's saying and the way he's saying it, he does very well because he's not a very good actor. I mean, Ronald Reagan was a professional actor, Bill Clinton was a very, very good amateur actor. But I mean, you got to have some acting skills to be a successful politician. But Bush is just a dreadful actor. So either he's good or he's bad. But he is what he is. I was quoted in the newspapers. A reporter for AP called during the speech, and I think this is true. That one of the things that it's clear to me that the president has gotten past and probably ordered the staff to change with him is that the campaign he ain't running for anything anymore.
Right.
And from this point forward, it's okay to say we needed to make this course correction. It doesn't mean we were wrong when we started down that path, but circumstances, events have changed, and now we have to go down this path, and you don't have to worry about the other side saying, see, he said it was a mistake, because he's not running.
Right, exactly. Well, I remember he was going to give a speech a couple of years ago to a small business gathering that I was at, and a guy sitting next to me was one of his critics, and he said, well, I don't like to hear him speak. I've never have enjoyed hearing him, you know, in the process of making a speech. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to predict you'll change your mind today. He said, why do you say that? I said, I'm going to predict that you're going to be amazed at how well he'll deliver this speech, because it's about something he really cares about, which is small business.
Right.
When the president got through 45 minutes without a note, he had notes in front of him. I never saw him look at them.
Really?
And the guy, when it was over, the guy turned to me and said, you were right. Just did a great job. Rich, let's talk about some specifics. Patriot Act.
Patriot Act. Well, that's going to be a battle. I think it'll be easier today than it would have been this time yesterday morning to get it through. There are opponents on both edges of the political spectrum, but I think this is one of the good things about hanging around Washington. I went to the White House yesterday afternoon for a briefing on the speech, and so I had some fairly good idea of where these things were going. But he is adamant. And this is part of not being afraid to say, you know, that we did things that we, you know, in that if we would have known then what we know now.
Mm-hmm.
But that he's adamant that people not forget the horror of the morning of September 11th, 2001, and by our, you know, once again falling back into the fact that we're protected by two oceans, you know, lose focus on the need to keep track of these people, because they are every day trying to figure out a new way to kill more of us.
Deborah Burlingame, who's the daughter of, the sister of one of the airline pilots that who was hijacked and whose plane was flown into one of the buildings, mm-hmm. has been a staunch supporter of the Patriot Act and has an outstanding article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. If you get a chance, folks, to see that, if you want to know in layman's terms why the Patriot Act is important, she's beyond the stage where she's, you know, mad about her brother. This is just a human being who has looked at the issues, and she writes in plain English. And it's a good article. The point there is, if the Patriot Act had been in effect a year before, let's say, 9/11 probably would have been avoided.
That's right, and that's part of this this terrorist surveillance business too. That if that had been an ongoing operation, then it's very, very possible, not probable, but very possible, that at least at some point the NSA would have picked up.
Yep. Well, they actually had. According to her article, they actually had information that tried to be passed along, but couldn't be passed along
because of
the wall that was put up between the intelligence offices and the criminal divisions.
Right, exactly.
The FBI and the CIA.
And the CIA were not allowed to share information by law, which of course everybody now forgets. But that's why presidents get to. That's why it's called the bully pulpit, because they get to remind us of what's important and what's. You know, which childishly, he's calling names at each other.
Congress
spends most of his time, by the way.
One of the things that was interesting to me last night, Rich, was watching two or three of the times when the Democrats sat on their hands. The Patriot Act, I believe, the polls show, is very popular with Americans. The ability for the president to make sure that this doesn't happen again is very popular with the Americans. When he talked about those things and he got a hand from the Republican side, these were not political issues. These are security issues. The Democrats sat on their hands. I thought that was unfortunate for them to do that.
Well, you know, it's, again, coming from the Republican side, but I talk to a lot of Democrats, reporters and non-reporters. Almost all reporters, as you know, are Democrats, and I'm not being ugly about it. It's true. But we get along great, but there are Democrats who are very afraid that the Washington Democrats are forcing the party into, you know, this soft on crime, soft on terrorist line that a lot of folks in the blue states don't agree with.
That's a loser at the election on election day, I'll tell you that. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back with Rich Galen. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. Rich, give us your website again, please.
www.mullings, M as in Mary, ullings.com.
Three times a week, right?
Yeah.
And,
except in August when I take, when I slough off.
Yeah. And
this past office, I was pretending I was writing a book, which of course I never got the first sentence.
I think you should point out who encouraged you to write that book.
Yeah, you did, but you didn't offer to write the thing with my name on it. That would have been helpful, encouraging me to write it.
You didn't offer me enough money, Rich. Okay, what will the president get done between now and Election Day in November?
Well, I think the big things are the Patriot Act reauthorization, there'll be some adjustments to it. I think to get the thing through, that'll happen. There'll also be, I believe, some forward momentum. Although I heard this morning there was a bunch of griping about the lack of attention to the Gulf State reconstruction stuff, but there's a lot of, to use a horrible metaphor, there are a lot of issues and bills that are stacked up behind the legislative dam that just need some fairly minor tinkering for the administration to clear them. And I think we'll see a good number of those things finally get through here in the spring. So that will help a good deal. And finally, I think that that they'll spend a lot of time trying to figure out ways to implement the part of the speech that I thought really was the most important, and that's the reestablishment of a focus on teaching math and science in schools at all level. And in fact, I in the column this morning, I wrote that Judge Alito had been confirmed 58-43, and now, of course, I've gotten 7,000 emails from readers saying that's 101 senators, and I just write back and say that's why we need a new focus on math training.
Well, the speaking of which, he had a couple of success stories right in front of him, didn't he?
He had two of them right there, and I
Robertson Alito.
Yeah, and the you know, the doorkeeper says, "Mr. President or Mr. Speaker," you know, the diplomatic corps, "Mr. Speaker," the, you know, Joint Chiefs, "Mr. Speaker," the Supreme Court of the United States, and of course the Republicans just stood up and hooped and hollered like a bunch of high school cheerleaders. It was just great.
I saw something last night that I had never seen before. One side of the aisle giving itself a standing ovation.
They did, and
tell the audience what that was about.
Well, I'm trying to remember what the...
Have you ever seen that before?
I had not seen that, but it was... oh, I know. It was about Social Security.
Yeah.
The fact that the Congress has not dealt with the issue of Social Security. The Democrats are very proud of the fact that they have not only not offered any positive suggestion on what we're going to do about Social Security going down the road, but applauded themselves in the fact that the only viable alternative, which is to take some small percentage and let people invest it themselves... got stuck and stopped, and they're very proud of that.
Well, I think it was another unfortunate...
You and I are going to be off the air by the time this happens. I mean, you know, forever. But the but in 10 or 15 years, when Social Security is a huge issue, I guarantee you that Republicans will be running that exact footage about the Democrats congratulating themselves for doing nothing to fix it.
That was another unfortunate moment, I thought, for the Democrats, because what they responded to was him saying Social Security reform.
Right.
And what that came across to me is that, you know, we don't think anything needs to be fixed.
Well, the Democrats and Republicans for all of my adult political life have used Social Security as a club against Republicans, and for Republicans it's been the often quoted third rail of Republican politics that if you touch it you're going to fry. And this president has had the guts to make Republicans talk about Social Security, and the Democrats are in dread of losing really their last major kind of hometown, you know, Rooseveltian issue. If the Republicans actually come up with a solution, then it becomes a Republican positive, and the Democrats can't have that happen. And I understand that from a political standpoint.
What? How much? Let me ask it this way. How long will the Abramoff scandal issue resonate in Washington across the country before it's resolved? Will it be done before the election?
It will be done before the election, Jim. I think because I suspect that there has been a deal cut amongst, especially in the House, between the Republican leadership and the Democratic leadership, that they'll throw the most egregious guys overboard and then declare a ceasefire. You know, but here's, and just quickly,
10 seconds.
Yeah, there are two members that are probably going to jail, a Democrat from Louisiana, a Republican from California. Neither of those seats are going to change parties. The Democratic seat will remain a Democratic seat.
Right.
The Republican seat a Republican seat. So
gotta go, Rich.
Going to change.
Thanks for being here. See you next time, Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back. I am. I read that wrong. Rich, I'm sorry. You there?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. It was my fault. I'm looking at the clock wrong. Anyway, now.
Well, I was going to say that I didn't hear any music.
No, that was my fault.
My cue
that was my fault. I was so engrossed in what you were saying, Rich, that I got screwed up on my time. Quickly, will Abramoff matter in the November elections?
Oh, I think absolutely, because any member that has to go home and explain that he or she is not guilty of bribery is in some danger. But I think it'll probably be more evident in the primaries than in the general
election.
Will
it be somewhat bipartisan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This isn't just a bad day for the Republicans, is it?
It is a worse day for the Republicans, but there's going to be plenty of Democrats that are going to have trouble.
There's the music. I'm pretty darn sure we're out of time now, Rich. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Folks, I got it right that time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.